Hi, I'm Wendy, and top shows in the podcast archive 2023. This is a recap. Chris Robinson has two books, Dream Detective and The Premonition Man. One thing he's including now that he left out originally, who helps him with the information? ETs are part of that.
The night before I got the plane to the US, I was taken up into, it was a bit like the Death Star in Star Wars. And there were different kinds of beings there, including some relatives.
The Dream Detective, The Premonition Man, Chris Robinson.
The Dream Detective basically takes you, it walks you through your dream process, but you had to omit some things because everything had to be signed off on from the
release. From the authorities.
Yeah. So
that one, we had to do that.
Okay, so with Grant and Jane's version, and these are the people who are behind the Skoll experiment, which basically is proof of afterlife. That was the whole goal of that, and it's a wonderful documentary. The ET element also factors in. You're no longer holding them back.
That's correct. I mean, it was held back because, I can remember the words, bad enough you're talking to dead people, don't bring extraterrestrials into it, please. And I agreed not to. I couldn't see the point. At that time in the end of the 1980s, I wanted to establish that this was real. And if leaving certain bits out helped me on that journey forward, I was happy to leave them out.
But now there's a different, for society, there's a different belief system, especially when the UFO stuff is actually being more signed off on as legit. When they proposed the book, they actually had a paper. The paper was the UFO that 1971 you're citing. It says, when you see one, don't be the only one.
Exactly right. That was my philosophy. And it was really, I mean, you don't know how much of it is in your imagination, thought-wise. But when I saw that first one, I'd already decided if I ever saw one, I wouldn't be the only one. That's why I knocked on all the street doors and got everybody out. But it was only less than, I think, 2 months before I saw the second one. And the second one was filmed by a TV company. And I was interviewed by people from our Air Force or the Ministry and the Air Force. And they took Malcolm and I, we were the two witnesses that, you know, were together. They took us back to where we saw it and did some elevation measurements and speed calculations and whatever they were doing. And they came back to see me, I suppose, spring 1972. And I remember the words of one of them. He said to me, we managed to find a radar track of that. He said, and whatever that was, it was doing in excess, I think he said, of 90,000 miles an hour, and it stopped dead. And it did. I mean, it shot across the sky and stopped. And then it moved a little bit and stopped. And then it moved a little bit more, and then I watched it go back the other way. Now, the TV company only filmed it stationary and then going back towards the direction I was in. I was about 100 miles from where they were. This thing did 100 miles in 3 seconds, and you can see it. You've only got to, if anyone wants to look at that video, they've only got to Google Oxfordshire UFO 1971. That was my initiation into it, you know, in the August and in the October. I've now seen two things which are so far off the charts in their ability to move around that, you know, I was convinced. In fact, I was convinced I hadn't been wrong.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing, too, from childhood, you had a heart condition.
You know, I was born with a congenital defect. Yeah.
That comes into factor later when you've had all of these experiences and then there's an operation that nobody can explain. And matter of fact, the doctors were saying, you had an operation, you shouldn't be here. Why didn't you tell us you had this done?
Yeah, I mean, well, there were two operations. The first one, I had a tear. I had injured myself and got a tear in my diaphragm. And I went to the Luton and Dunstable Hospital. And I was seen by a consultant called Dr. Jane. and they did a barium meal and a scan, and I can't remember other things. And he said, well, we're going to have to fix that because it could get worse. So they were going to schedule, in fact, they did schedule surgery for me. Now, because it was the NHS, so I didn't have the money to pay for it there and then, there was going to be a delay of 3 or 4 months for this to happen. About halfway through that waiting period, I'm going to say dreamt that I was beamed up into a spacecraft. And I was laying on what was like an operating table with my right arm strapped out horizontally. I'm horizontal, but my arm's going out horizontally as well, away from me. And I'm looking to my left side at the earth below through some kind of portal or window or whatever it was. And I remembered, wow, what am I doing here? Now, this was the most vivid, lucid dream you could ever imagine. They operated on me. In the morning when I woke up, the first thing I said to my wife was, I've had the most incredible experience. And I dreamt I was beamed aboard a spaceship and they'd done my operation. And then she said, look at your arm. Well, there were 3 puncture marks on the inside of my elbow. It looked like small drill holes with a red circle around them. And my wife just looked and I looked and I thought, whoa. Anyway, I went to my doctors and I showed them to, his name was Dr. Kurt, and he looked at them and he said to me, what have you done? And I said to him, they weren't there when I went to bed. And he made me laugh. He said, where the hell did you sleep? And I said, no, honestly, I said, in bed, at home, normal, nothing sharp, nothing that can do this. And he said to me, well, you're a bit strange anyway. They don't look infected. If it starts to swell up and get red and hurt, come back. Because it didn't. So I forgot about that. I then get to the hospital, which would have been, I can't remember exactly. It'll all be in my medical notes. Say 6 or 7 weeks later, they'd healed up. And I go in and get prepared for the surgery. And they walk me into the operating theatre. And they said to me, can you get on the table by yourself? I said, yes, I can climb up there by myself, don't worry. I climbed up, I laid down, and they got ready with the anesthetic machine. The surgeon, I can't remember what his name was, but Dr. Jane, who was the consultant, was there. And he said to me, we're going to scan you just before we put you to sleep. Make a couple of little pen marks on your tummy. I said, fine, no problem. So he scanned it, and he scanned it, and he called someone else over, and they brought another machine over and scanned it on that, and he got really annoyed. He said, why didn't you tell us you've already had the operation? I said, what? I haven't had an operation. Then it clicked in my head, and I thought, not saying a word about this. But I said, no, I haven't had an operation. Then I corrected that. I said, well, I haven't been to hospital and had an operation. And he said, well, it doesn't heal itself. He said, the diaphragm is continually moving. He said, and unless we stitch it, it won't heal. And I said, well, I'm really sorry. I can promise you I have not been to a hospital. I have not had an operation. Anyway, they kind of kicked me out and put a big red letters across my hospital notes about wasting their time. Sometime later, I saw my cardiologist. He said to me, come on, he said, it's not like you to waste their time. What really happened there? And I said to him, you'll never believe me. I said, I'm not going to tell you because, you know, I've got myself into enough trouble over it as it is. And he said, no, tell me. So I told him. And he looked me straight in the face and he said to me, I've heard stories like that before. He said, we just don't talk about it.
Links are in the show description, and you can contact Chris through the website, The Premonition Man. Gary Wimmer gave me this music. His NDE is featured in the podcast episodes. one of the top shows, 2023. Paula Roberts, the English psychic.
Ingo, looking back, knew considerably more about my mythical abilities than I did. I didn't know. And we were just sort of casually sitting there one afternoon, as we very, very often did. He said something like, do you want to go to the moon? And I was there instantly.
When I've interviewed Ellie Flippin about her uncle, Ingo Swann, she mentioned the English psychic, Paula Roberts. Now, she has quite a background, and it's fascinating, so I wanted to find out more from Paula about her experiences with Ingo and also her own personal experiences.
Do you have spirit guides, specific guides that you work
with? Oh, I know. You've opened a can of worms there, Wendy.
Oh, good. Okay. Let's go.
I never had any comment about anybody else's work or feelings or thoughts or anything else. So I'm about to say something. I am very, very fussy for myself about the semantics in my work. Oh, this fills in with something else. I did a past life regression. I come from somewhere very, very, very different. I'll tell you about that perhaps some other time. So spirit guides, no. Now, am I aware of spirits in general around? Yes. Am I very aware of my mother, my brother, my aunts coming? Yes. But in my own life philosophy, I do not deal with any form of spirit guides. None at all. None at all. Not for me.
What is that bias or that sense that doesn't work?
Oh, it doesn't work for me because I probably should tell you about my past life regression that I had once some time ago. And I'm very easy to hypnotize. I'm away with the fairies immediately. And immediately, I was incredibly far out. I was sort of looking into a cave, but it wasn't a cave in a hill or a mountain. It was sort of, I don't know, it was a cave. I was sort of standing at the entrance. And looking in, I could see sort of little groups of what I called, you know, those little fireworks that children have called sparklers. I don't know what they're called here.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, there were groups of sparkles. And I was looking in, and I knew which was my sort of group. And then I had, I think I'd call it a realization that my work, I don't like to call it missions, a bit lofty, was giving and receiving information from here. Didn't belong to here. I'm getting information here, which I take back to there. So something else. I'm sort of something else. I'm other. So that's why I don't deal in anything that would be more, should we say, of this plane isn't quite the right way of putting it, but spirit guides, not me.
Yeah.
I said I have no reference to anybody else's.
Instead of attaching to a human form or a no longer human form, that something in the same dimension as people, you're getting it
right
from a spirit plane, which doesn't necessarily have any kind of human or any kind of physical attachment to it.
Absolutely.
I would say extra dimensional.
Yes, exactly. And over the years, I mean, not so much now, I've had issues with elementals throwing things around. So they do throw things around every now and again. I have words with them.
Ingo addresses that. At least Ellie told me that he warned her not to go to this certain intersection because the gremlin would sit up there and play with the stoplight, the street lights, and cause accidents. He said, don't go there.
they can be naughty. I mean, you know, I've had words with them every now and again. Not often, but, you know, it's when they start throwing things around. No, thank you very much.
You mentioned having that encounter when you were doing the remote viewing of the moon with the other beings. It seemed like what you were referring to when you did the remote viewing of the moon were ETs.
Right.
And I don't know if that's an accurate reference, but have you had that?
Yes, right.
Okay, so... Have you had any other similar experiences beyond that?
I did go to the pyramids. Did I tell you that?
No. Let's go there.
Oh yes. That's a big one because that's documented. Now, just to go back to the moon, I knew there were reports about this, but I cannot locate them. And everybody who might have seen them denies all knowledge of them. And I know they exist somewhere because they went off to the CIA, FBI, whatever. Yeah. And I'd really like to see that. But let's go to the pyramids. Now, again, what happened with India, he would invite me down. I wouldn't invite myself, but I saw him a couple of times. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So he'd invited me down one day, whichever. And again, Ingu never said anything to me like, we're going to do this or that or the other. And he said, you know, I give you some coordinates. Oh, fine, okay. So he gave me coordinates. And I immediately said, oh, I see sand. And he said, oh, that's likely. And then I saw the pyramids. And he said, well, can you go inside? Yeah, sure. Went inside a very, very large oval space. And all the way around, there was sort of panel, what should we call them? And light was sort of ebbing and flowing. And kind of, I knew there was a being there, an essence, shall we say. I couldn't see anything. I mean, anything that looked like a creature, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And then he said, because he said very little in this, I've got it, this is all documented. He said, well, can you see another sort of opening? And I said, well, yes. And I went across there. And I said, well, it's full of rubble. And he said, well, can you go through? Whoosh, and through to the other side. Now, that other room was full of sarcophagi, but they all had their tops, all the lids were off. So I was looking around and looking in. Now, there weren't mummies and there weren't skeletons, but there were all the clothing. And I described them, and I documented, I wrote sketches, all the things that they were wearing in great detail. But I was also aware of the presence. And then also I was aware of balls of light and energy. I mean, there's more to it, but I'm sort of paraphrased as I'm sitting here thinking about it. And I had this strong sense that this was, how should we say, headquarters. These balls of light and energy are in mountains and hills all over the world, but this is headquarters. Let me go a little farther forward. A few years afterwards, and I've got this all documented, the center in St. Petersburg, Russia, you do understand, a center of parapsychology, some physicists, sensible scientists, have come to the conclusion, the thought, that there is a tremendous source of energy coming from the pyramids. And I thought, I told you that years ago. So I find that interesting.
Fascinating, fascinating. So, yeah. Okay, so a mountain like Mount Shasta, which has a lot of history saying that there are UFO sightings and other types of anomalous experiences there. Have you?
No, I how should I say, once I've got that knowledge, but to answer your question, am I thinking of any particular range of mountains
yes.
or hills? No. It was just, and that is one. Now, let's go back to the pyramids. I didn't know at exactly that same time there were four other people at different locations who had been taught to do remote viewing who were doing the same experiment. And then sometime afterwards, I got the write-up and basically said it was all, you know, people were given letters, not numbers. Letters, it doesn't matter. And basically it said, after 7 pages of writing up, that most people got something similar. Nobody got anything dissimilar, but one person got a lot more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That was me. And I just
not that you're bragging. Not that you're patting yourself on the back. No.
No, it's all documented. Nothing to do with me.
That's fact. Understood.
Yeah,
understood.
But the thing about, I mean, is anything that I see or done, it's like my archive, I can prove I did it. I mean, if somebody says, 9/11. I'm sure you're aware. After 9/11, an enormous number of people said they'd seen this and that and the other before. Well, I'm not saying that they did or they didn't because I don't know, but not documented.
Yeah.
And when I say something, I can produce a TV show, a radio show, a newspaper, a magazine before the event. Because to me, to have it afterwards doesn't make any
mm-hmm.
No proof. I really like having proof.
Paula Roberts, the English psychic, website paularoberts.org. I blog about some of this stuff too, and there might be additional elements that we didn't talk about during the interview. Talking to Nightlights, WordPress.com. Headline, Conscious Living, and Wendy's Coffee House. Again, these shows are in the archives of Wendy's Coffee House, so check them out. We'll see who stays in the mix for 2024. Thanks for listening. Stay curious. Anything's possible.